Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Monday, the 16th day of May 2011, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours at least. Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the next hour. We will also have open phones today on all the different things happening in the world. Dominique Strauss-Kahn and the upcoming indictment. Arrested for reportedly, and now first it was attempted forced oral sex, then attempted sodomy. Now they're saying sodomy of a 32-year-old maid in his $3,000 a night taxpayer-paid for hotel room. Remember, U.S. taxpayers finance the IMF and the World Bank. I was also reading how they keep on every French Airways airline. They keep a seat open for him. And I guess if it's full, they just throw somebody out of the first class seat for Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who was going to be the socialist candidate, they're reporting, to run against Nicolas Sarkozy. And French polls showed that he was going to win. An international banker head who openly goes in and destroys third world countries and puts loan sharking level interest rates on them, IMF World Bank maneuvering the U.S. towards debt insolvency and the loss of the AAA rating, but he was set to be the leader of the Socialist Party. The bankers want you under socialism. What is in the Communist Manifesto, financed by the big British banks over 120 years ago? What is in the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto? A graduated income tax, a central bank. A private central bank. I mean, they wrote this to collectivize your wealth so they can control the general population, so the general population is on their payroll, and the rest of the public is being sucked off of by them, and then they basically transfer our wealth. So I'm going to be going over that because it's very interesting timing. The word is, and more lawsuits are being filed, one by a prominent reporter, that Khan began acting like a wild, quote, chimpanzee, ripping her clothes off and, quote, hunching on her. So that's standard globalist operating procedure. They are like a bunch of demonic wild chimpanzees. Khan, the evidence shows, just likes to jump women, which is bad enough. Paul Watson has a detailed report that is very painful to read, and it's 4 pages long, and I'm not a news reader, but I will struggle through this. Coming up later in the hour, globalists like to rape women as well as nations. And it gets into the cases of the little dungeons with little kids in them with the top EU people. And then the police even come to the houses. Little girls beg, but they don't help them. And then they starve the little girls to death is how they like to do it. Because and again, it's not just the raping them they enjoy. It's the begging and the pleading. The longer, the better. That's their favorite thing. That's why the UN gets caught all over the world injecting kids with syphilis and live polio, because that's their religion. The more innocent, the more good, the more decent, the more these pit demons enjoy torturing them to death. And I mentioned some of this yesterday, and without me even asking, obviously Watson was listening last night. He did a full detailed report with hyperlinks to mainstream news admitting all of this. So I thought we'd look at the mindset of these predators so we can understand them. I mean, you've got to at least be somebody chasing after male pages or who likes to rape women to be in their club. But you don't rise to the highest levels unless you like little children down in torture dungeons. And then you go right to the top. So we'll be talking about our rulers, our owners, the psychopathic child torturers on the other side. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Live, my friends. It is Monday, the 16th day of May, 2011. Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, will be joining us coming up about an hour and a half from now to give us his take on the exploding unrest in the Middle East that we're going to be breaking down. The latest on Fukushima, which has continued to have explosions and fires and smoke with radiation off the charts. One correction. Listeners didn't correct me. I went and looked it up last night after the show. They had reported 10 million times safe levels of or normal levels of radiation. I looked that up, and that was the equivalent of, you know, flying by a exploding star. That was a misreading, I believe, and that's what they later said. Then they said that it was over 7 million. I believe that's a misreading. It's 7,500 times safe levels were confirmed over a month ago in the ocean right off Fukushima, and that was in the Associated Press and ABC News. So I said 7 million times last night, and obviously it was not 7 million times. Okay, let me... Oh, we'll also talk to Joel Skousen about the bin Laden situation, the Dominique Strauss-Kahn. We'll cover a whole raft, a whole laundry list of issues with him. Obviously, I should talk some about Ron Paul declaring late last week that he will be running for president, but that's really old news for this audience. It's the right thing to do. Even if Ron Paul doesn't win the nomination or the presidency after that, he will win in the realm of ideas. I mean, if you thought it was pertinent 3 years ago with him up there nationally on in the big debates, bringing up that it's not conservative to launch all these preemptive imperial wars, that the dollar's being devalued, that we have an inflation tax, that a world government is being established by the crooks at the IMF and the World Bank. Now imagine how powerful that information is going to be when Ron Paul's up there calling for an audit of the Fed on national television, in the debates, in his TV ads. It will only further mainline the true Americana constitutionalist movement against the globalist. And you notice Ron Paul is out in the news all over the weekend without even trying to watch television. I saw him here in the break room last night on Fox. I saw him on CNN when I was at a restaurant last night on the big screen TV. Talking about Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and he pointed out that these are the types of people that we have running the IMF and World Bank. Here is the Fox News headline. IMF implicated after chief arrested on attempted rape charge. Ron Paul says these are the kind of people that are running the IMF, and we want to turn world finances and control of the money supply over to them, Paul said, continuing to quote, "That should awaken everybody to the fact that they ought to look into the IMF and find out why we shouldn't be sacrificing more sovereignty to an organization like that and an individual like he was." And he went on to say we should not hand over world government power to this individual. He went on to say, "I would like a sound American currency, but others want to go to a world currency. They want to use the IMF as the model," Ron Paul said. So there's Ron Paul with real issues. And every show he goes on that I catch, they say, "What about you saying you didn't want to kill Osama bin Laden?" And Ron Paul says, "That's not what I said." In fact, it's been Ron Paul since 2001 when he plays along with the official fable saying, "Look, we shouldn't have spent trillions of dollars in Iraq and Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden." Remember our media said Osama bin Laden was in Iraq too? Oh, he'd run from Afghanistan to Iraq, and they had the airplanes grounded that they were doing al-Qaeda hijacking drills in, and it was all made up. But Ron Paul said, instead of spending these trillions of dollars and killing a million Iraqis, why didn't we just send special forces in to kill bin Laden? Because there were all those reports that special forces had him in their sights but weren't ever allowed to kill him. Well, it's just like the Deputy Secretary of State came out last week under Colin Powell and said, look, Bush didn't want him dead. He wanted to use him as a boogeyman. Well, of course they did. What did Governor Ridge, in a book now written 2 years ago, say? He was ordered to issue fake terror alerts, Homeland Security, as a political stunt to get support of President Bush's policies. And what do you think Obama's doing now with his new terror alert system and individualized text and video break-ins over your phone and TV set and radio? This is the federal government moving towards taking over the media and acclimating us first with short break-ins and text to more and more government break-ins. So when they finally totally drop the hammer and take over all media so they can put out their message so there's no resistance, when they set off a nuke in a city or a small town. Notice Al-Qaeda wants to target small towns now with nukes. That is in the latest documents found in the million pages of documents found in the Al-Qaeda hovel, the Al-Qaeda warren, the Al-Qaeda rat hole, a spider nest. Now so Obama can personalize this 10-year saga with bin Laden. Bin Laden wanted to kill Obama, and Obama's tough, man. He got even with that guy. He's tough. I mean, you can just imagine how they would script this to make them look like heroes and sell the police state, and that's what they're going to come out with. Because they sit around and say, let's say we got a million pages. We can make up whatever we want forever. Let's say that we are not going to release the photo because nobody will believe it anyways, and we threw it in the ocean, but we've got the Navy SEAL video cam feeds, they're so shaky that when we release it, you won't be able to tell what you're looking at. And let's shoot him from the side. Let's get one of the lookalikes in there and shoot him from the side. Well, hey, boss, we got caught releasing all those other fake ones. They won't remember that. They love hating a foreigner. Yeah, I mean, you can see how this is all going down. So that's just some of what I've got there. I don't even feel worthy to bring you information of this magnitude. I don't. And as things get darker and darker, as everything that we've basically broken down begins to manifest itself, as we follow the globalist roadmap, we're just following their blueprint and tracking where they're going to go next. It's not very hard to really do this job. It's not hard to understand the information. It is hard to face it every day. It is hard to continue to track it and to have to look at the crimes of these people and watch them get away with it. It is very, very frustrating. And it makes me want to not run and hide. Run and hide is not the word. It's not run and hide out of fear. It's more, I just want to imagine this isn't going on. I mean, the deeper I get into this, the more I confirm my worst fears and concerns. I mean, it's always worse than I originally thought. The arrogance, how bold they are, what they've gotten away with, how vicious this ruling class is, what they're into, who they are. It just makes me want to move to Wyoming and buy a tiny cabin and selfishly have a farm and just disappear and never be seen again. And I'm going to be honest with the listeners of this show. If I thought that this corruption would just kind of stagnate where it is, and that I could just get away from it and be left alone, it would be a temptation very hard to turn down to remove myself from this equation and drive 50 miles once a week to a grocery store and see no one and be around no one. That really is what I lust after. Not power, not money, not women, not fame. All of that is actually a curse. It really is. Instead, I realize I do need some money and power to just protect myself to a certain extent so that I can defend myself if I'm going to continue down this road. I have just learned too much about human nature. I have gone over the mountain, I guess you could say, and I am changing. I don't want to sit here and talk about myself. But here's what I have to say. I will not leave. I will never leave. I will never stop. Because my flesh wants to just get away from all of this and go hide somewhere. Again, not out of, even out of fear. The fighter in me wants to fight these people. But at the same time, my selfish side just wants to be separate from them. But I realize I can't go run and hide. You can't go hide in a farmhouse and get away from these people. It is not going to go away. It's going to get worse. And it's those of us that want to be left alone that the system is coming after. There is an obsession coast to coast with raiding organic farmer markets, with cops with guns drawn, to act like it's dirty and bad and evil to have a farmer's market. We see countless surveillance videos coming in of just cops freaking out, slamming people down on the ground who were selling rutabaga and strawberries. They'll do year-long, $500,000 investigations of Amish people publicly and legally selling milk just to act like and fool the domesticated jury. See, it's all part of theater. That we had an investigation and we did this and here's how we got the milk and how we sold it. So the dumbed down domesticated jury that doesn't know how to screw in a light bulb thinks that coining your own silver coins is illegal or selling your neighbor's milk is illegal. And then I realize how the feds do all this premeditatedly and they know they're putting on a show and they like it and they're just sadomasochistic bullies. And they had a big 60 Minutes special last night. I just can't handle it. Our entire system is being overthrown. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, private property rights. It's in shreds. It's on fire. Most of it is already ashes. It can be resurrected anytime we rediscover it and enforce it. By educating others, by standing up, by filing lawsuits against criminals and government. There's a whole cocktail of things you can do to resist them. But the system is now demonizing anyone that points this out and coming after them. And they are harassing anyone who simply tries to be left alone. They want you to be part of this Babylon system. They want you to take the poison vaccines. They want you to have the cell phones and fry your brain. They want you to take the prescription drugs that they know are killing you. They openly in Europe have now put in Codex Alimentarius, are banning vitamin C over the counter in most nations. I read those articles last week. I mean, they are coming for everybody. Big business is openly writing the laws to shut down their competition. Big business openly gets to keep their coal power plants. Everybody else gets them shut down. The big establishment boys get to lobby and get waivers from having to buy health care for their employees. You've got to buy it. And if you stand up and say, I'm not going to do this, this is unconstitutional and it's discriminatory, you're not enforcing this uniformly, they will come and arrest you. And they have federal juries that they kept seated of hand-picked evil people. Evil people and useful idiots and others who will send a baby kitten to the gas chamber for murder. They would send a rock to the gallows. 98% conviction rate. 98% conviction rate. And I've seen much of an incredible 60 Minutes piece last night. We're going to post this 60 Minutes piece, Demonizing Sovereign Citizens, up on Infowars.com. Jaron brought it to my attention this morning. A look at the sovereign citizen movement. And they go on to say, well, most of them are 30-year-old males. They've lost their job, and they don't have any money, and they're terrorists, and we want to arrest them, and they're evil. And they think they're above the law. No, it's the UN and the bureaucrats that have the diplomatic immunity and are allowed to engage in all these crimes. It's the IMF and World Bank as the front groups for the private central banks that have gotten $27 trillion of American taxpayer money at least in the last 3 years and won't tell Congress where the money went, but we found out where some of it went and went to private individuals. You're the people that are above the law because you say you are. Bush put memos out saying, well, torture's illegal unless I say we can. That's above the law. In those White House memos put out by John Yoo and Alberto Gonzalez saying, well, if the president says it, Nixon tried that. And no, the president's not above the law. Nobody is above the law. Not Dominique Strauss-Kahn, not any of them. I'm going to cover that coming up in the next segment. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in the third hour on the sovereign citizen movement. That is an entire spectrum of ideas and people. Some of it I don't agree with and I think is criminal. Most of it is absolutely legitimate and makes sense. Here's a point I want to make. This morning I heard local talk radio news playing national news. And Fox Radio was saying, well, Texas, you know, the House and the Senate passed the law. That's expected to go to Governor Perry's desk to say it's against the law for the TSA to stick their hands on people's genitals on the outside or the inside of the pants. But it doesn't matter. It's really only ceremonial because the federal law trumps it. Well, you know what? I've had constitutional lawyers on, but I've also read the TSA regulations. These are regulations put out by Homeland Security. And Homeland Security just says, we can do whatever we want. We can download your iPad, your iPhone, your laptop with no warrant. Really, FBI agent can't do that. That's because it's all been litigated out with the FBI agents. They've got to at least follow most of the Bill of Rights Constitution. A local state police cop in New Hampshire or Texas or Oklahoma can't do that. Why can these people in little blue outfits do it? I mean, can a state police officer just pull up at a park and say, I just want to stick my hands down your pants, you might be a terrorist? No, you're innocent until proven guilty. There's due process, but they create these little federal reservations, and they say they're above the law on radiation testing from the scanners. Every other system run by doctors, you name it, has to be checked every month by radiologists, but not this. It's just exempt because an agency said so. And we're exempt from federal and state laws on sexual molestation and assault. We're allowed to do it. Sworn cops can't do it. Sworn FBI can't do it. Secret Service can't do it. But this new group can do it. Now, that's a sovereign government pimp, not a sovereign citizen. And see, if citizens aren't sovereign and have basic rights, then we have government gods. Somebody's got rights. They're saying we don't have them, but they do. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying. The way they've always done before.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are here live, back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. Okay. Finishing up the point I was trying to get to, in the third hour, I'm going to talk more about what sovereign citizens are, what constitutionalists are, and how the media and the government are trying to imply that anybody that argues with any edict of a federal or state agency is some type of bizarre, dangerous, crazy terrorist. And that's basically what the 60 Minutes hit piece did last night. Is talk about 300 plus thousand, they estimate, and it's a lot more than that, folks that call themselves sovereign citizens who aren't paying the income tax, who aren't paying the property tax, and most of them have just decided that if they ever try to take me into jail, I'm going to go ahead and stand up against them, and that's the end of it. And they admit in the piece they're people that have been pushed to the edge, and that's what happens. And meanwhile, the illegal aliens are the real sovereign citizens at the grassroots. Most of them don't pay taxes. They have fake IDs or no IDs. But the cops have been told, leave them alone. They're part of the system here driving down wages. When we legalize them, they'll vote to take the guns. we're going to use the illegals as our voting block and our army against the American people. And that's what the Ford Foundation and others are on record setting up. So they're a group that is literally above the constitutional laws because they're allied with the IMF, World Bank type people. Let me get my coffee here. Because they're allied with the folks who at the top have set up this world government where they are exempt from the laws that they pass for us, the little people. That's kind of like Congress exempting itself from Social Security and every other major program they foist upon the American people. That's always a big telltale sign of serious tyranny. Now, I could go on for a long time along this point, but as I said, I'm going to get into it more and play part of the 60 Minutes piece and analyze it coming up in the third hour today. We do have Joel Skousen coming up who's going to join us. When I get on air and I say that I don't feel worthy to cover this information, by worthy, this information is so horrible, so evil, that it's something that all people should be standing up and fighting. And that the more gifted researchers and legal minds and law enforcement people should be turning their energies towards. But really, everybody sees corruption as something that somebody else who's got more answers or somebody else who's more well-spoken should have to deal with. But at the end of the day, justice falls to all of us. When we attempt to always give that responsibility to somebody else or some other group, invariably the groups that we empower to keep us safe and to be guardians of the republic become corrupted, become overtaken. And we see more and more corrupt people being recruited into those positions until the entire power structure is run by very abusive, evil, avarice-filled, bloodthirsty type of personages. And if you've looked at history, that's the norm. That's why every philosopher worth their salt has pointed out that if you want to know what's happening currently and you want to know what's going to happen in the future, all you need to do is study history, because societies, empires, individuals, religions, philosophies, they all basically go through the same cycles and permutations. And we have definitely come into a very, very dangerous time period in our society. I think the best thing for me to do is to just read in its entirety this article by Paul Joseph Watson, "Globalists Like to Rape Women as Well as Nations." And this is a very important article because every claim, every statement that is made here is directly linked to the actual court records, documents, mainstream media reports. And knowing all of these cases that are in the article, I have to say that it's actually only the surface of it, even though this article basically sounds like it's off the charts. Reality, the full import of the reality is so much worse. I mean, just to watch the Associated Press video that is posted in this article of Dominique Strauss-Kahn proudly being led out of the police car and bugging his eyes out hatefully at the police and trying to intimidate them. And the police, generally in that culture, worship power, and so they are definitely freaked out by him. They didn't even handcuff him when they picked him up from the airport off of the French Airways jet. And then once they bring him in, the way he is strutting around, I mean, you can just see what an avarice-filled bull this guy is. And this is the globalist religion. It's about dominating innocence. It's about forcing yourself on people. The last thing I would ever want to do, but that's because I'm normal, somewhat normal, you know, at least from my perspective, I am. The entire thrill is in the woman wanting you. I am repulsed by what you know, many globalist philosophers have talked about: taking the woman, forcing yourself. I mean, that just doesn't even compute. But in that aggressive stance, in that mindset, is the essence of the globalist. And so somebody like Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who has a long history of being accused of trying to force himself on women, i.e. rape them, that is basically just a doorway, a window into the wider world of the New World Order. And this is what goes on at Bohemian Grove. It's what goes on at Skull and Bones. It's what goes on in the halls of Congress. And it's their attitude. And that's why they go after the Amish. It's why they go after the little farms selling tomatoes up on the highway, or peaches, or pecans. It's why they seek out anyone who just wants to be wholesome and good and strong. See, I never get sick of walking around in the woods. I never get tired of looking out onto a lake. I never get tired of watching birds hop around in my backyard in the tree. I never get tired of reading dozens and dozens of books to my children every day. I never get tired of cheese enchiladas. I never get tired of the way my wife looks. I don't need more. I don't need to do something twisted to find satisfaction. I have complete satisfaction in what I was designed to be. I'm not aberrant. You understand that? And this whole culture and system sells us that we're not fulfilled and we're not happy in what is seen as vanilla, plain Jane. And so when you're really intellectual, you're into this, you're into that. And when you study history, this is what Caligula did. This is what Nero did. This is what the Chinese emperors did. This is what the Aztecs did. Every culture degenerates as psychopaths start getting into power and sociopaths that serve them. And then cultures aren't about intellect and engineering and being explorers and trailblazers. It's always the explorers and trailblazers and hard workers that build the civilization. And then the parasites come in, they take control, they sell you on public torture and death, as the Romans did. They try to infect the general population and basically convert things over to their system. I liken it to John Carpenter's The Thing, where you dig it up out of the snow and it absorbs you and becomes you, and then basically turns you into something else, though on the surface you look normal. And so I'm going to read this article now, and I would challenge folks to go through this, check every link, check it for yourself, because it starts with just the latest with Khan, the wrath of Khan, and then it gets into just a few examples of the legions of small children begging for help with the police doing nothing to help them. I remember Times of London article 12 years ago where women broke out of a, that time it was a Rothschild-owned castle, and got to the local police station and got to the media. And then when the police went, there were women, you know, dead in these cages, and they dug up a bunch of dead women, but then it was all swept under the rug. And see, France has had these vampiric-like people operating there for more than 1,000 years. Oh, they die, but they might as well be vampires. With every legend, there is a truth. And it continues. Globalists like to rape women as well as nations. Now, let's go over this article. given the fact that the likes of the IMF head Dominique Strauss-Kahn and other top globalists are intent on raping the national and monetary sovereignty of countries in pursuit of their New World Order, it is no surprise that they also seem preoccupied with raping women amongst a host of other sordid and predatory perversions. Remember that Nero would dress up as a werewolf at the big Roman parties at his palace, with everybody laying on the floor with the low tables eating, and that they would then chain a beautiful slave down, and he dressed in a wolf skin, he would come and rip their throats out, being sprayed with blood. That's mainline stuff. Now, down the road, Caligula, that's mainline history, Caligula wanted to insult everyone, so he married his horse, and he would have the Roman priest, instead of splitting the gut of a bull and reading the guts, instead of tea leaves, he would have them read the horse manure. Now, continuing with this article, globalists like to rape women as well as other nations. Strauss-Kahn was pulled off a jet at Kennedy Airport in New York by police Sunday after a hotel maid accused him of attacking and attempting to sodomize her. The fact that Strauss-Kahn left his mobile phone at the hotel room suggests he tried to make a quick getaway. However, it's not the first time the IMF chief has been accused of rape. French writer Tristan Bannon is now considering legal action after Strauss-Kahn for alleged sexual molestation that occurred in 2002. And people are scared of powerful folks and a lot of times won't report it till later. According to Bannon, during the course of an interview, Strauss-Kahn acted like a rutting chimpanzee as he violently attempted to tear off her clothes. Strauss-Kahn's alleged penchant for sexual assaulting women brings to mind the claims against his fellow globalist Al Gore, which became public last year. Masseuse Molly Haggerty alleges that Gore invited her to his hotel room before pinning her down like a crazed sex poodle, before groping her as she struggled to escape. Well, he did more than that. He hunched on her like a rutting chimpanzee till he... And she reportedly has the clothing to prove it, but the cops don't want it. But Gore's behavior is relatively tame compared to former President Bill Clinton. Juanita Broderick went public in 98 to claim that Clinton raped her two decades earlier. Broderick alleged that Clinton forced her down on a bed in a hotel room, tore away her underwear, and began aggressively raping her while biting her lips. Well, he bit her to hold her down. That's Ted Bundy stuff. As she begged him to stop. Although Clinton denied the charges, he agreed to pay $850,000 to her in a settlement to avoid the case going to court. A lot of money for someone who claims he did nothing, as Larry Elder wrote. Despite the fact that Clinton publicly lied to the American people during the Monica Lewinsky scandal when he said, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman," the numerous other women who have alleged affairs or who claim they have been raped or molested by Clinton were all dismissed as liars, because the feminists actually like this. Feminism isn't about empowering women. It's about creating a cult of women to break up the family, to isolate them so they can be sterilized and forced to work as slaves in the factories. And so the state gets the kids. Continuing, we're all dismissed as liars by the corporate media, just as Lewinsky was branded deceitful before she produced the semen-stained dress that proved her story was true, and just as Jennifer Flowers was also savaged by the establishment before Clinton, during the Paula Jones deposition, was forced to admit he did indeed have sex with Flowers. However, sexual molestation of women only scratches the surface of the deep and sordid circles that the power elite prefer to move in when it comes to acting out the forbidden perversions. Politicians such as Larry Craig and Mark Foley are lightweights in comparison to the horrors. Both those guys work closely in stopping crimes against children. They help run the groups that protect the children. Politicians such as Larry Craig and Mark Foley are lightweights in comparison to the horrors of the underground sex child trafficking networks run exclusively for the pleasure of the elite. As we documented, almost every major pedophile network that has come under public knowledge has included tentacles that stretch high into the upper echelons of the global power structure. And he could give you hundreds of examples. He just gives a few. On June 29th, 1989, the Washington Times, Paul M. Rodriguez and George Archibald reported on Washington, D.C. prostitution ring that had intimate connections with the White House all the way up to President George H.W. Bush. Male prostitutes have been given access to the White House. And the article also cited evidence of abduction and use of minors for sexual perversion. Congressman, Barney Frank, underage prostitutes out of his house. He gave a press conference and he slapped his hand down on the table and he said, "You're going to drop this right now or I'm going to start giving names to Congress." And the FBI went, "Yes, sir. Have all the little kids you want." He said, "That's right." That's how it works. So we've got to ask why they're busting Khan right now. Well, he is the big socialist leader set to run against Sarkozy, the globalist minion. So there's probably a little inner power struggle. You know, they're normally allowed to do this, but now you're in trouble.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Okay, continuing with this article, we have links to all the mainstream news articles with the credit card slips of the underage pleasure slaves at the White House. And then it continues with the articles from 2005 with James Dale Guckert, known as Jeff Gannon, the gay porn star, bringing in hundreds of male escorts into the White House on hundreds of occasions. And then it continues, in almost every case, human trafficking for child sex slavery from Chile to Australia to Bosnia to Portugal to Belgium. Court proceedings get shut down or diverted when a clear connection to the elites arises. In the mid-1990s, and this caused national riots and demonstrations, convicted child rapist Mark Dornanu built a secret prison cell in his basement where he kept abducted young girls hostage at the behest of what he called a big crime ring, which in 2004 court case was brought by many to encompass some of Belgium's top politicians, judges, and policemen. See, psychopaths are into authority. And so that's why they want to be cops, they want to be judges, they want to be politicians. They don't want to be left alone. They don't want to just have freedom to be sovereign and free. They want to run your life. They want to have their people stick their hands down your pants. They want to break your will. The reason why it took so long to apprehend Dornanu was he was being illegally protected by the same individuals. And Watson has links to those mainstream articles. Material witnesses at the trial described child sex parties involving judges, politicians, bankers, and members of the royal family. Victims that managed to survive, most were butchered snuff style after being raped, verified the claims. Police actually visited Dornanu's home and heard the cries for help from children concealed in his basement, yet believed Dornanu's explanation that the sounds were coming from kids playing soccer in the street. He was eventually convicted for his role in the pedophile ring, but the involvement of the elite of the country was never properly investigated. And then the article continues, after DynCorp and Halliburton contractors were exposed as having operated child prostitution rackets, we have links to mainstream articles there, in the Balkans in the late 90s onwards, and more recently in the case of Halliburton, Representative Cynthia McKinney attempted to get answers as to why the U.S. government continued to do business with these corporations. On March 11th, 2010, we have a video link there, McKinney grilled Secretary Rumsfeld and General Myers on the DynCorp scandal and its protection by the U.S. government. They responded by saying that they had been put in the penalty box for a short period, but were now being given government contracts again. She pointed out they were never stopped from getting government contracts. See, they don't even get in trouble, because they have this globalist fake immunity, because they say they do. Just like TSA is saying, we don't care what Texas says or does, we're still going to stick our hands down your daughter's pants, because we like it, because we're your bosses. because we own you. We're going to sexually molest you publicly. In late 2005, Halliburton subsidiary KBR and DynCorp lobbyists worked in tandem with the Pentagon to stall legislation that would specifically ban trafficking in humans for forced labor and prostitution by U.S. contractors. We have a link there to the Chicago Tribune. They publicly have lobbyists for the white slavery. I mean, see, ladies and gentlemen, so why is Khan getting in trouble when he reportedly does this all the time? Well, obviously, this is some infighting by the globalist. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right. You know, I want to take your phone calls. We also have a guest coming up, and I haven't even gotten through two pages of Paul Joseph Watson's article dealing with the fact that if you want to be a part of the globalist upper inner circle, you've got to at least be a rapist because it's just a manifestation of their attitude that we are all basically just prey to be fed on by them. And that's why the whole media culture, the whole NPR simpering, hypnotizing voice is designed to put us in a childlike, diminutive, subservient position so the system can basically rape us financially and physically. And it's why any type of strength from the citizenry, any type of armament, by the citizenry is seen as evil and horrible and dirty and dangerous, but giant paramilitary forces erected against the people is seen as good. This is just simply another signpost on our road to tyranny. And when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to finish up this article by Paul Joseph Watson. Globalists like to rape women as well as nations. I think we should add to this, globalists like to rape women and children as well as nations. And after all, I mean, they're all over the news telling us that torture is as American as apple pie, attempting to twist us and turn us into basically versions of what they are, artificially turning us into these suboid, kind of Renfield-esque assisters, helpers, attendants, to them so that the world can be turned into a hierarchical system, a playground, a charnel house for the New World Order control freaks. So I'll finish up with that in the next segment. And then secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. This is absolutely amazing. They just brought this into me during the last break. And we're going to be covering this coming up a little bit later. Secretary of Defense Cohen, back in April 28th, 2007, told Army Times that there are weather weapons, tectonic weapons. We know that there is a giant quasi-secret geoengineering program launched by the Department of Energy back in the mid-90s. And they're just now getting around to having the CFR and others promoted to the general public. So there's no doubt these programs are going on. And then the globalists come out and say, see, pay us carbon taxes or protection money. And then the earth will stop going through all this climate change. It's just classic stage terror. But secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. A top Duma political leader caused shockwaves in recent television interview when he warned that Russia could deploy an arsenal of new technology to destroy any part of the planet and kill over 100 million people using secret weather weapons if the United States, the UN, and Georgia tried to stop Russia's entry into the WTO. Vladimir Veronovsky, the vice chairman of the Russian state Duma and leader of the Liberal Democratic Party of Russia, the first officially sanctioned opposition party after the fall of communism, The LDPR has deep links with the former KGB and Communist Party and has become a significant force in Russian politics, despite Zhirinovsky himself being branded as a militant neo-fascist. According to the translation provided by a Russian speaker, I'm going to cover this after I finish up. Yeah, the Russians have got it, the Chi-Coms have got it, and you better believe good old USA's got it. And USA and run by the USA. It's run by the Rothschild Rockefeller banking cartel out of England and France. And I don't like the Russian elite any more than I like the globalist elite over here, but the Russians do pay their people to have kids.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
There is an incredible breaking news report at PrisonPlanet.com. We're going to get this red linked up on Infowars.com. Secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. I'm going to go over this article here in a few minutes. When I finished up with this article that I started covering last hour by Paul Joseph Watson. And the point I'm trying to get at is this. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Have you studied the decline of the Roman Empire and then the Byzantines that came after them? Have you studied what the French and British royalty did? Have you studied what the Chinese royalty did? Have you studied what the Toltecs and then the Mayans and then the Aztecs did? It's always the same, like a tropism, like a plant grows towards the sun. Societies have their flowering and science and technology and honor. They become wealthy. And then over time, people begin to worship the sycophantic institutions. And in the end, it always, you have top elites raping, murdering, killing, bizarre sexual behavior, gladiatorial events, public sacrifices, all basically designed to ensure that the general population will submit to whatever they're told to do. These are rituals of submission to the Kim Jong-il types, like you have in North Korea, where the people are just under hellish degradation. And like out of 1984, most parents have their children taken at birth and sent to other parts of the country, so you never have a mother and a father. In 1984, they talk about, we're going to get to the point, Winston, O'Brien tells him as he's torturing him, where children are taken at birth like eggs from a hen. Well, North Korea has already achieved that. Government and centralized dictatorial systems always, even if you get a benevolent philosopher king up front, always degenerate into abject hell, with Caligula marrying his horse and making it the head of the Senate, and Nero running around dressed up as a werewolf, publicly chaining people down and ripping their throats out with blood spraying all over him. I could go through more examples of this if you'd like. The Aztecs, people begging to have their children's hearts cut out because it was such an honor. The main meat supply that funded the priest class was humans hanging by their heels, and the public coming up into the meat stalls, getting select cutlets for themselves. And people would say, well, that's just a culture. Well, the Nazis were a culture. And we need to learn to judge these cultures. Now, what comes up over and over and over again, time after time, in every culture with corrupt elites, and what comes up time after time with the Washington elite, the IMF World Bank elite, the British elite, it constantly comes out, and then no one is prosecuted or gets in trouble with these people raping women, kidnapping children. And I was reading cases out of Europe and Australia. The list goes on and on with links to the UN caught running giant child kidnapping rings, Halliburton, DynCorp, having lobbyists full time. And this is even in major newspapers, just straight up who say we don't want it to be a federal crime for our contractors to run child kidnapping rings. I mean, this is so incredible. And we have links to the Chicago Tribune. We have links to all the mainstream articles where they, with a straight face, I mean, somebody grabs your kid off the street corner it's a big three-alarm fire and the cops race around. But when it's the globalists doing it or big contractors doing it, they don't even have a law. In 2005, Halliburton subsidiary KBR and DynCorp lobbyists worked in tandem with the Pentagon to stall legislation that worked specifically, would specifically ban trafficking in humans for forced labor and prostitution by U.S. contractors. It's one of their biggest businesses. Where were the investigators and convictions in the cases of establishment orchestrated child slavery and prostitution, like the NATO officials responsible for the mushrooming of child prostitution in Kosovo? Have a link to that, BBC. What happened to UN officials identified as using a ship chartered for peacekeepers to bring young girls from Thailand to East Timor as prostitutes? In every example, the case seems to get shut down when the direct ties to people in positions of high power are established. That's why they want a world government. You ask, why do the globalists want to set up a world government and then release bioweapons and reduce the world's population? Why do they openly state that? Why do they openly push for that in the United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment 1996? Why do they openly push for that in State Department Memorandum 200? Why do they openly push for all of this? Because it's what they like. They like the power over everyone. They want the power of God. A globalist sees an innocent three-year-old child and wants to rape and kill them, wants to put cigarettes out in their eyes, wants to keep them in a dungeon begging and pleading. The sounds of a begging, pleading three- or four- or five-year-old girl is music to their ears. It is abject torture for a normal, wholesome person. But a normal, wholesome person just wants a decent house, a car that works, and wants to go play golf, or wants to go see movies, or wants to make pottery in their garage, or wants to do woodwork, or wants to go fishing. We don't have this hunger for power. These people do. And good people are going to have to get organized and grow up, because good people have a blind spot for this. I can play you congressional hearings. I've played it many times, where Rumsfeld is confronted by Congresswoman McKinney, and she reads the reports about the child kidnapping rings and says, why isn't DynCorp in trouble? And he says, well, I believe they were put in the penalty box. They weren't given contracts for a year. And she says, no, they weren't. And he goes, well, that's just the way it is. And he got very quiet and was scared. Rumsfeld never acts scared. He got very quiet. Just search Rumsfeld confronted over child sex slaves into YouTube, and it'll come up. The behavior of Strauss, Kahn, Gore, Clinton, and every other globalist underscores how our planet is being seized by people who are predators in more than one sense, and those conduct and whose conduct illustrates how they deserve to be behind bars more than they do, accumulating more and more power in a move towards global governance. And I only read part of the article because we don't have time, but it's very painful to know that in plain view, they are allowed to do this and get away with it. And then that begs the question, why has Dominique Strauss-Kahn been busted? Because there's all these reporters and other women and people coming out in cases of the IMF having to cover things up behind the scenes and make cash payments, like Clinton for raping, you know, the woman reportedly. I mean, he settled for $850,000. That's guilty right there, folks. I mean, if you accuse me of rape and I hadn't done it, I'm not going to settle. I'm going to be out in the open saying, let's go to trial. And when we're done, I'm going to sue you and you're going to go to jail for perjury. Not Clinton. He's like, oh, I didn't have sex with that woman, but here's $850,000. Please leave me alone. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm Bill Clinton. I'm your first black president. I'm black. That's true, too. And Al Gore invented the internet. You don't get into their club. I mean, mid-level people have got to have gay prostitutes. I mean, that's the... To even join the club, you got to, you know, get in a group party there at Bohemian Grove and have the gay prostitutes service you. Headline, New York Post, top gay porn stars service moguls at Bohemian Grove. That's just to get in grassroots. That's, you know, just what camp followers are into. You go up the chain, it's a brotherhood of evil. And you've got to enjoy torturing small children and then begging and pleading and screaming in the dungeon and being mutilated and tortured. And their favorite thing in France and in Belgium when they find these dungeons is starving them to death. I mean, reportedly, globals will just sit there for days while a small child's in a cage starving to death, begging for mommy. And it's like absolute ambrosia to them. It's Valhalla has been opened up. And they love it. And so, of course, they're putting cancer viruses in your vaccines. Of course, they're every major GMO crop that comes out has the side effect. It's not a side effect. It's what their real design is, to cause total sterilization in all mammals they've tested it on, guinea pigs, rats, mice, within three generations, all on record, to cause massive mutagenic developments in all mammal species in the intestines. That's why you just see incredible diseases of the gut, the lower, the small and large intestine, the stomach, because these are hell demons. They are conjuring absolute hell on earth. It is beautiful to them. Burning buildings, dust, bones, the smell of rotten flesh. If you study the criminology and the psychology of psychopaths, to a man, they love the smell of rotten meat. They love to pick up the 16-year-old in their yellow Volkswagen and take them and torture them for a week, you know, out in the middle of nowhere so they can hear their screams and bite big chunks out of them and shock them. Now, they love to dress up as demonic clowns and pick up, you know, teenage gay people and torture them and then bury them in the basement and, you know, tell their wife it's dead rats down there. They love it. It's beautiful to them. And they're making a world. Remember the New York Times reporting on how all the top art sold now in New York? You know, the stuff going for $45, $55, $60 million is a goblet of pus in glass, a skull with diamonds, Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian's art sells for hundreds of thousands a piece, and it's demons eating babies. Look it up. It's painted in Kevorkian's own blood. And before he got arrested, I remember seeing him on PBS with all these movie stars prancing around and saying how beautiful it is as this weird, ghoulish creature goes, I pulled an ampule of my blood and I painted it myself with some beautiful model going, oh, it's so beautiful. Because it is just the ultimate decadence. And we can't see them because good, wholesome people are blind and can't believe it exists even when it does. We have to admit it. We have to remove this cancer. We have to rout them. You understand? It's time to grow up. It's time to study history and see what out-of-control sickos do. They're willing to cheat. They're willing to steal. They're willing to manipulate. They're willing to punch our buttons to get into positions of power so that they can abuse us, so they can be above the law. Look at all this diplomatic immunity. I know the IMF has diplomatic immunity, but the police in New York are pointing out that he was not operating in a diplomatic capacity, and so they're going ahead and charging Dominique Strauss-Kahn with reportedly running out of the bathroom naked and jumping on the maid. And there's other women, prominent reporter coming out saying same thing. You go behind closed doors with Kahn, he starts, quote, acting like a rutting chimpanzee, jumping on you, ripping your clothes off. And it's this hyper-competitive, psychopathic energy that they have. And quite frankly, trying to rape women is literally the tip of the iceberg with these demons. And this article by Paul Watson is so important because it details the entire history of these people. And, it's a snapshot of many of their crimes to prove to you that this is hidden in plain view. You will read mainstream news articles about Fortune 100 companies with lobbyists openly lobbying that the U.S. government not withhold contracts from them for kidnapping small children, many of which that are shipped off to be raped and then have their heads blown off. And they just do it in plain view. So, of course, it came out 6 months ago in late 2010 that secret deals were signed with Prudential and other top insurance companies to take all death benefits of World War II vets through current vets. Of course, it's in the news today that Obama is moving to take public and private pension funds. Of course, these people are allowed to run giant child kidnapping rings publicly. They do whatever they want, whenever they want, in our face, and train us and break our will that they get to behave and act however they want. Now, continuing here with the other news, this is just incredible. And I'll definitely bring this up to Joel Skousen because he does a lot of research on Russia. Vladimir Vironsky is the... he's like probably the third most powerful person in Russia, heads up the only big opposition party. Secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. This is up on prisonplanet.com, and I believe it is now up on infowars.com. But it just came out a little while ago. Yes, it's up there. Secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. A top Duma political leader caused shockwaves in a recent television interview when he warned that Russia could deploy an arsenal of new technology to destroy any part of the planet and kill over 100 million people using secret weather weapons if the United States, the UN, or Georgia try to stop Russia's entry into the World Trade Organization. Vladimir Vironsky is the vice chairman of the Russian State Duma and leader of the Liberal Democratic Party of LDPR, the first officially sanctioned opposition party after the fall of communism. He almost became the prime minister via the fall of the Soviet Union and then what happened with Yeltsin. The LDPR has deep links with the former KGB and the Communist Party and has become a significant force in Russian politics, despite Vironsky himself being branded as a militant neo-fascist. According to a translation provided by the Russian speaker during the interview, Vironsky went off on a bizarre tangent after he was asked how Russia would treat countries like Georgia and the United States who tried to block Russia's entry into the World Trade Organization, saying the American government in Washington, D.C. had no future and would collapse. Vironsky cited Russia's supremacy in space, stated the country had lots of money, resources, and new weapons that no one knows about. With them, we will destroy any part of the planet within 15 minutes, he sensationally warned. Not an explosion, not a ray burst, not some kind of laser, not lightning, but a quiet and peaceful weapon, added Vironsky, warning that whole continents would be put into sleep forever. Sounds like a tectonic weapon. And that 120 million people would die if anyone interfered with Russia's claim on the Ural Islands, which are subject to a territorial dispute with Japan. I guess that's the Kuril Islands. The female presenter of the news program smirked as he made the comments, but Vironsky's manner was far from jovial. Vironsky made reference to the recent tsunami in Japan, suggesting the new weapons to which he refers are related to weather control technology, which has been intensely studied by both the U.S. and Russia since the 1950s and is commonly used today. Threatening to annex Georgia completely, Vironsky warned, and then there will be another tsunami on the other side of the planet in the Caucasus. We'll be right back.
Early one morning, with time to kill, I borrowed Jeb's rifle and sat on the hill. I saw a lone rider crossing the plain. I drew a bead on him to practice my aim. My brother's rifle went off in my hand. A shot rang out across the land. The horse he kept running, the rider was dead. I hung my head, I hung my head.
All right, we're going to Joel Skousen here in just a moment to get his take on the whole bin Laden situation. What does his research show? We're going to get into the incredible economic developments. China cuts holdings of U.S. Treasuries for a fifth month in a row. That's AP. What do you think of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation? For me, this is standard procedure for these guys, but they don't normally get in trouble for it. Well, it turns out he was the socialist leader set in the polls to beat Sarkozy. And Sarkozy's a good globalist minion, so is this infighting? I mean, I have no doubt he did it. I mean, he ran out, left the cell phone, all the rest of it. But he's not convicted yet. We'll be discussing that coming up with Joel Skousen and what he thinks is most important on the radar right now. I wanted to add that we have a whole bunch of very important books and videos available at the online video bookstore, Infowars.com. And your purchase of the books and videos also makes this broadcast possible. But more importantly, you get key tools to raise your awareness. And then hopefully when you're done reading Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, or when you're done watching Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, or when you're done reading Where's the Birth Certificate That We're Carrying by Jerome Corsi, or when you read Jesse Ventura, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, you can pay it forward and give it to someone. Because folks are really ready to be awakened right now. People are finally starting to question. Now, we have two new videos we're carrying, and this one is only $10. It's an amazing animated documentary that covers the banking cartel, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the private Federal Reserve, how the debt system does it. This is so professionally done. It's even been chronicled and reviewed by Fox News. The American Dream, Fighting the Lying Liars, One Stupid Lie at a Time. This is probably the best documentary, it's short and sweet, for the general public that has no knowledge of what's going on. This is a slam dunk, home run, and I was contacted by the makers of it months ago, who were fans of the show. They sent it to me, and I finally watched it. It blew me away. We're carrying it at Infowars.com. The American Dream, get that via the online video bookstore shopping cart. And a new film by Dan Dix out of Canada that dwarfs his last film dealing with the North American Union. This, Into the Fire, Press for Truth presents Into the Fire, just came out. Have it on DVD in stock, a Dan Dix film. The whole world is watching. This has, amongst other things, and it's shot in high def, the G20. And that's the model, the G20 in Toronto, the G20 in Pittsburgh, the G20 in England. In every case, they hire provocateurs. They send them out. They have them attack the police, so the police have a pretext to attack the public. They have the snatch and grabs. They have the hired provocateur burning police cars. It is an amazing film, and you also then support activists in Canada. Into the Fire by Dan Dix, now available and shipping at Infowars.com. You can also call toll-free if you'd like to order over the phone and ask about some of the other combos and discounts we have. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And one more thing, because I do three or four shows now in a row and never even plug books and videos and T-shirts, and that's how we fund our operation. We have this new T-shirt in. This is our second in the Fluoride is Poison line, and it's a deep blue T-shirt with a skull on the front, and it says, there is poison in the tap water, Infowars.com, with a skull and a drop of water. And then on the back, it's got fluoride facts for you. You want to warn people. You want to be a billboard exposing these people. It says an industrial waste is added to the drinking water by our government for the purpose of medication. More toxic than lead, the active ingredient in many pesticides, linked to increases in bone cancer, brain damage, and lower IQs. This should be our best-selling T-shirt. It's still the V for Victory. Folks, you need to get this shirt and get it out in public. This will be a great way to get people to initiate conversations with you, and it's a great way to support the broadcast, Infowars.com. Now, joining us 15 minutes or so into the next hour, if he can do it, is Joel Skousen. He's a political scientist by training, specializing in the philosophy of law, constitutional theory. He, of course, is the nephew of Cleon Skousen, who wrote some of the preeminent tomes on how the big megabanks fund the socialism and the communism to consolidate wealth and basically finance their communist and Nazi opposition. He was also in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era and was a fighter-bomber pilot. And we appreciate Joel Skousen joining us. He's the editor-in-chief of World Affairs Brief, joelskousen.com. Joel, great having you here with us today. So much happening. Let's get into the Osama bin Laden raid and what your research shows is behind that.
Well, Alex, this was a carefully crafted political piece of theater that was made to, I think, have several things. First of all, I think how it was pulled off so that legitimate SEAL Team 6 could, in fact, think that they were killing bin Laden, and the pictures that were shown, the various congressmen, selective congressmen, that could be made believable is I think that they had one of the two or three lookalikes that they have of Osama bin Laden, but they've been parading before the American public for the past 10 years, set up to be killed. And it's very suspicious that, you know, there was no dialysis machine. You can't have a man with near kidney failure in 1999 and clear into 2001 survive in the so-called caves of Tora Bora without a dialysis machine. And even with a dialysis machine, it's very rare to live that long. Of course, two Pakistani prime ministers, former prime ministers, have said that he was dead a long time ago, and I think that they're right. So I think what happened is that you have used this lookalike for many, many years to produce these propaganda videos. You set him up to be killed. Look, you know, look at this compound in this small city just blocks away from a military training school and headquarters. I'm sure the people in the military in Pakistan said, yeah, we know that's the U.S. compound down there. They control that, so we don't go in there. The biggest, tallest house in the entire city, you know, ringed with barbed wire. There's no way that anybody in this town wouldn't know that there was something going on there. So you can't hide there. Bin Laden wouldn't have been hiding in plain sight like that. So I think this was a carefully crafted setup, and its purpose, frankly, I think, is to get Obama reelected. I think, and I've analyzed in my World Affairs brief how that's going to happen, you know, flooding the Republican candidacy with as many people they can jam in there. They're throwing Donald Trump into the mix to try to pull off a Ross Perot-type siphoning off of independent votes. I think it's very, very clear they're heading to give us another 4 years of Obama, incredible as that may sound.
You know, what you're saying, Joel, is exactly what my gut instantly told me. We have the Spy Talk, May 25th, 2010, where they just had high-level CIA agents off record tell the Washington Post that, yes, we did make a fake bin Laden video showing him as a, you know, with as a homosexual, but we didn't release that. And then we have top experts studying the other videos saying that it wasn't him. And we have the fat bin Laden who had suddenly gained 100 pounds and had a bigger nose. You have the old videos that our government had to admit were edited re-releases of real bin Laden videos from 99, 2000. So we have this history of admitted faking, and that's what you need to do is get rid of the lookalikes once the Osama bin Laden era is over. We have BBC talking to his neighbors saying, I knew that guy, and saying his name and saying, yeah, he looked like bin Laden, but he wasn't, you know, bin Laden. I mean, Ron Paul looks like the actor that plays the guy in the X-Men Magneto. I mean, they look almost identical. That doesn't mean that that famous actor, who I guess also plays Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, I forget his name, doesn't mean that, you know, they're one and the same. There are a lot of people that I've run into people in my life who look almost like me. It's incredible. You walk into a store and you're going, you look like me. Well, I look like you. And so that fits exactly how they would operate. I have to say that that's what Jesse Ventura said, is they said they could have had a guy in there that looked like him. And then how ridiculous to say they threw him in the ocean, but you can trust us. We've got a face print. And we've got a DNA test. This is a government that's been caught lying about WMDs, you name it.
But you can't check out anything that the government is claiming because virtually all the sources are owned by the government. I mean, even they say we've done a DNA test. Well, where did you get the original sample? And if you didn't get an original sample, which is difficult to get unless he really was their agent, but if you're using relative samples, it takes far more than 24 hours to get a proper DNA test, and they were announcing this within 18 hours of when they claimed to have killed him. So that's all very, very suspect.
What about, I mean, not just the re-election bit. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I concur with you on that. What about the saying, well, now that he's been killed, the terror threat's greater. Brace for 160 Al-Qaeda nukes to go off. Then AP even ran with the KSM, a guy been tortured for more than 5 years, saying, yes, if you kill bin Laden, nukes will be detonated in Europe or the U.S. This released 2 weeks before the bin Laden killing. So you saw the pre-scripting and priming of the pump ahead of that. I mean, I'm really concerned about a false flag right now, especially with the TSA rolling out the new presidential alerts. They want to have commandeering with cell phones.
Well, I'm worried about false flag operation on an Amtrak train. It's not coincidental that Senator Charles Schumer of New York is touting that we need TSA-type controls on Amtrak, and Amtrak lackeys are going along saying, yes, we need that too. They have used trains in Europe. They did one in Spain. They did one in England. The U.S. Is due for those, and so that's probably the most likely thing. I don't think we're going to see a nuclear dirty bomb. The reason I say that is I don't think they want people in America preparing against nuclear attack or war in any way whatsoever, and that's my reluctance to accept that. But I do think that this is very, very too good to be true to have 100,000 pages suddenly coming out, you know, with and they're claiming too much. Bin Laden supposedly running around from safe house to safe house is not going to be able to accumulate 100,000 pages of intelligence for them to find in this particular house. They wouldn't keep it in one place, for one thing. They'd have it distributed. They'd have it coded. I mean, this is just like the CIA decided not only to bring in this lookalike to staff him in the house, but to load the house, preload it. In fact, they may not even have to actually preload anything. Who can tell what they found? Do you know what it would take to have to haul away that much material, you know, from this house?
Well, I saw headlines that there was 1 million pages, not just 100,000 documents.
Oh, really? It's up to 1 million now. Well, they're obviously talking about...
And now they can say, oh, look, here's the proof of 9/11. I'm betting and I'm predicting that there, at some point near the election, they'll say, here was the whole plan. Here's how they did 9/11. That's a replay of two magic passports falling down from the towers, being found that day on 9/11. One of the hijackers' bags getting stuck, not getting on the plane with all the admissions. I mean, the evidence of the throwdown weapon, I mean, that's evidence of it being staged.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many indications that this was staged. I mean, hijackers don't take a van and leave, you know, paraphernalia tracing them. They don't use credit cards to buy. They use cash. They take taxis to where they're going to do something. I mean, these are no more trained terrorists than these are, you know, patsies, just like the underwear bomber and the shoe bomber. I mean, there's no trained terrorist who would not have known that you cannot light plastic explosives with a match and expect it to go up. They must take Americans for fools.
These are drugged out zombies. I mean, we first broke a month plus before the Undersecretary of State Kennedy had to admit an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency said, give him a visa, help get him on the plane. Our witnesses saw the sharp-dressed English-speaking man demand that security let him on the plane. This person was so high-powered, he got him on the plane, and Mutalib looked like he was drugged out of his mind.
Oh, and I think he was. I think he was under drugs. They really don't do mind control very well without the use of some of these mood-altering and mind-altering drugs.
Sirhan's now come out and said what people said from the beginning, that he was drugged up and it was the same thing. But regardless, the police there admitted that the shots were fired from another firearm. They found the article. Throw that back up there. Osama bin Laden plotted to kill President Obama report. U.S. intelligence officials who are currently analyzing over 1 million pages of data. Why not 2 million, Joel? Why not 100 billion?
Well, we do learn some of these things, you know. We learned that finally they got these stealth helicopters into operation. I had a subscriber to the World Affairs Brief who had an encounter with those in Wyoming some 3 or 4 years ago, and he said they really are silent. Sounds like just a big swooshing fan going by. They have so many blades on these helicopters. So they really can get in there, and they, of course, had some stealth. They probably made some composite-type helicopters so that the radar signature would be very, very low, and then had these very shielding discs around the blades.
As I saw the tail section, I said, before it was even on the news, not that I'm smart, it's not hard, I said, that's stealth. I said, it's obviously some type of plastic. Look at the edges of it that are designed to absorb radar. And then it did come out that it was a stealth helicopter. I wonder what else they've got.
Yeah, and that's what keeps the Russians and the Chinese at bay, too. They just keep wondering, what else has the United States got? Do we dare go to war with them? And that's why they, you know, the U.S. has to keep goading them almost. It's like Hillary Clinton this week, goading China about the human rights and attacking them. That's not been the policy of the government. They've been kowtowing and they've been excusing Chinese behavior, and all of a sudden Hillary Clinton comes out and attacks them full force in their own turf, and that tells me they're trying to provoke more bad blood there. I think they're having trouble getting Russia and China to actually spring this World War III on the world that they've been planning for so long. So this is one of the additional signs that they're starting to change tactics.
What do you make of the colorful Vladimir Varanovsky saying Russia's got super powerful weather or tectonic weapons and that they can destroy the U.S. whenever they want?
Well, you know, I think that the Russians have been putting out a steady stream of disinformation experts that have been focusing on the right wing in the United States, who have been full of a lot of conspiracy theories about HARP and about the chemtrails. And while I'm a believer in chemtrails, because I have actually seen them with my own eyes going on, nevertheless, I've done a lot of research on this, and it just, the powerful forces necessary, the multipliers necessary to induce earthquake or even weather changes are in the gazillion joules, and it's just incapable. I'm very, very skeptical that this is the reality happening, though they're trying. I will admit they've been trying, but I don't believe they've got the power to do that.
We know there's a lot of secret programs, but you're saying the amount of power would be needed to generate this they don't have. And I tend to agree with you, unless you look at some of the 60s documents on using underwater nukes to cause tsunamis. I tend to agree with Joel about the fact that it takes more power than the globalists have to trigger these massive events, but we know they do have a lot of atmospheric manipulation with the barium salts, aluminum dioxide to redirect or intensify weather systems that are already in place. I've interviewed Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, who successfully did this in Vietnam, but he did it with weather systems that were already developing. We know that the Stanford Research Institute certified in 68 that they could strengthen, weaken, or even kill hurricanes with classic cloud seeding technologies. But shifting gears, Joel, incredible news out of the economy. China cuts holdings of U.S. treasuries for the fifth month. So the Federal Reserve's having to monetize more and more of those. Now the Washington Post says Treasury to tap pensions to help fund government by cutting government pensions. Now, again, no cutting of the trillions of the foreign bankers, but now they're moving to cut government pensions. Only Obama can do that with, quote, left cover, claiming that it's the Republicans that want to slash everything. But then meanwhile, we see the IMF and World Bank in Ireland going after the private pensions, and we see the feds more and more moving to do that here. What's your view of the state of our economy, Joel Skousen?
Well, I think that we've got a situation which is unresolvable. There's no way that either Europe, the United States, or any of the other major countries, including Japan, are ever going to get out of their debt problems. We have shown just by the attempt by the Republicans to try to turn back a measly $500 billion that they couldn't do it. There's no political will. There's so many large minority constituencies, each one, I don't want to give up my benefits, and whether it's Medicare, whether it's Social Security, whether it's all of these, they have huge constituencies. There is no political will. Even those constituencies, if they knew that the country would collapse, if they didn't give up the benefits, would say, I still want them until the country collapses. That's the kind of mentality that we've got. There's nobody who's got the courage to stop this. Now, given that, notice that the government did not, when they ran up against the debt ceiling today, they didn't say, well, we can't stop, have any more debt. They basically said, baloney on the law. We're going to go and tap into the federal pension fund. But, Alex, there is no federal pension fund to tap. There is no IOU fund for Social Security. There is no FDIC fund. All of that has been admitted by government as simply journal entries, and they simply have to print the money and create the money with journal entries. So this is going on as we speak. The debt limit is not a hard ceiling. There is no way out of this. They're simply going to continue to create funds to keep government going. And I think everyone who's in the benefit-corrupted class of America is going to support that. And that's why there is no solution.
And so what's going to happen?
Well, I think ultimately they have a problem come 2020, 23, 24, when they, in fact, all of the tax revenues go to pay the interest on the national debt. Then they've got a problem because they're technically bankrupt. And that's why I think, I will guarantee you, Alex, they will give us a third world war before that happens so that they can have an excuse to walk away from all the debts because America has been taken down with a nuclear preemptive strike, which these globalists have wanted. Now, they have their bunkers. They will continue to come out, and they always, of course, put these contracts for the rebuilding of the world out to their own people, just like they did in World War II. So these people are not going to be hurt, ultimately, but the American people are. And that will be the excuse to walk away and say, it's not our fault, just like 9/11. This was an external attack. We just have to start over, and everyone will just nod their head and go along. And I think that's the resolution they're looking at.
But I see the monetization of debt bringing this crisis to a head within 2 or 3 years, not 2020. But I agree with you, regardless, it's going to be the same aftermath. We're back in 1 minute with Joel Skousen. I saw an article last week about rich Russians building bunkers at record rate. So are rich people here.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There's the headline from Bloomberg. Apocalypse angst adds to terrorist threat as rich Russians acquire bunkers. We've got the U.S., the Russians building giant bunkers for their elites. Private individuals in government building them everywhere, but then telling the public there's no threat, there's no problem. What's going on with the COG system here, and what do you make of the fact that the Russians are expanding their own government bases underground, and the nouveau riche and billionaires over there are building these big deep bunkers for themselves? I mean, I don't think they're building money for nothing. What's coming, Joel?
Well, I have a lot of information about this because I've been a high security architect for some 30 years, and that's what I do in the architectural field is design and implement these bunker systems for people. But fortunately, I work for people on the right who are wise enough to see what's coming, that the U.S. is setting us up for war. But let me tell you, in my work around the United States, I have found numerous builders, especially in the Colorado area, telling me that they've just done a bunker complex under various resorts and under private homes, and they're all from ex-CIA, ex-NSA, ex-government people. These people know that something big is coming, and they're building bunker systems underground. And the Russians know it, too. And that's why, despite all the ploy that has been perpetrated on American people at the demise of the Soviet Union, it never went into demise. It was a carefully crafted deception. The Soviets are continuing to build. Look at Yamato Mountain, Yuzinski Mountain. These are huge underground bunker complexes the size of the Washington, D.C. metro area. And our CIA, when the press talks about, what do you think about Yamato Mountain? Oh, we're not worried. It's just defensive. Well, how do you know it's defensive? They've never been in it. And, you know, satellite photos. I've seen the satellite photos. We've got 5 railroad track lines going into those entrances. You don't see any coal cars going in there. This is not a mining complex. You know, this is where they're building missile factories. They're hiding most of their production, which they intend to bring out, I think, after war starts. But they're clearly, both the Russians and Chinese, building for a time when they can strike the West and then come out on the other side winners in a nuclear war.
By the way, what about all the intel on Germany secretly building up huge weapon systems, just like they did before World War II? Have you gotten that intel?
Well, I'm pretty skeptical of that right now. The only thing that the Germans are doing is preparing in their NATO role to essentially become the military force of the world government. And to that extent, they are building up some forces, but it's not to, you know, because Germany's planning on attacking Europe. They're planning on being, in my opinion, the military force of the New World Order.
Oh, absolutely. Now, there are ships, submarines, rapid deployment forces, fighter aircraft. They are really building up as the heart of the EU military.
That's correct. And that's why we're going to see that those forces continue to be used, because NATO needs the practice. The U.S. wants them to be drawn into this. And over time, they want to convince the Europeans that there is a legitimate role. And that's why the German Supreme Court just ruled that, in fact, Parliament could not stop the German forces from rebuilding in their NATO role.
And a lot of this is Obama openly said and put out a public letter. He said his authority to have the U.S. join and lead the NATO attack on Libya was the credibility of the U.N. So Congress isn't even consulted. The credibility of the U.N., that is the precedent for NATO, the army of the U.N., to go in and attack a country and to try to kill its leader, and to be backed by al-Qaeda forces on the ground.
That's right. And what's worse is, you know, I think the long-term goal is not only to capture the oil countries in Africa, to squeeze China just like they squeezed Japan, but I think they're getting Americans used to continual war under the U.N. flag.
Let's talk about that strategy on the other side, and closing thoughts on other issues with Joel Skousen straight ahead. We'll get his take on what Israel's doing right now, Libya, you name it.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Final segment with Joel Skousen of WorldAffairsBrief.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. Joel, I want to pull back here and look at domestic movements. The state of Texas, the House and Senate have passed a law saying that the TSA can't grope you on the outside or inside of your pants, but there was already a law. Cops can't do that unless there's an imminent threat like a gun being shoved down your pants. FBI can't do that. How can the TSA do it? We now have the announcements they want a no-travel list on trains, then buses. I saw Governor Ridge 8-9 years ago talk about this being the plan, this domestic internal passport. They've got, you know, this has been in since 96, the modern EAS over radio, TV, into all the telecommunications, into the cell phones, under federal regulations and law, October 1st, 2001, to have the president break in or locals break in with text, with videos. I mean, I've been covering this forever because the architecture's been in place. You know, it isn't that the NSA's tapping the phone companies. The NSA paid to have whole floors of their stuff put in. And I've been on record since 96 with this info because it was public. And the last 3 years they've admitted this, you know, tacitly with AT&T and the rest of it. But it appears they're now getting ready to roll out the whole grid with headlines, Google wants to control your house, and about all the new devices being standardized for government wireless systems to dial in and take control of them, the smart meters. On every front, this system is going into high gear right now with the domestic police state, and I think the timetable's a little quicker than some people have been saying, but what do you make of this announcements of the president's going to be breaking in on your cell phone now and things? Is this getting us ready for the internet kill switch, which is really a government takeover system?
Well, frankly, I think it takes longer because you're going to have a massive rebellion. You start tampering with the internet right now unless you have a massive excuse to do so. And that's why I don't think these inland martial law or taking down of the internet will occur until there's a major war scenario to justify that. Believe me, when I don't have to say this to you, if you know that when you have a major attack going, whether it's Libya or whether it's any of the other, or 9/11 happened, people just lay down and acquiesce to whatever government wants. I think they are prepping people. I think they're getting used to it. Frankly, I wouldn't give 2 cents for any of the 10th Amendment resolutions that any of the states passed. For example, Utah passed it 10 years ago. and yet they have never enforced it once. This is what I've got to see. Is Governor Perry of Texas actually been enforced by arresting a TSA agent and having a confrontation with the feds over this? I think they're bluffing. And I think the Fed will call their bluff just like they are in court now over the various states that have said that weapons are exempt from federal statute.
But the movement's bigger than it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And we, the people, you know, have to move in this direction just as the globalists incrementally build. We've got to build towards that. And, I mean, I agree with you that, a lot of states are still going to roll over. That's our job as we, the people, to enforce this.
Yeah, I agree. The movement is growing. It's getting bigger. But, boy, I'll tell you, I don't trust these state governors to actually stand up to any of this thing. And I think they'll back down, and so will the state attorney generals. Virginia attorney general is pretty good, though. Cuccinelli, this guy's, I think, the closest to somebody who could really champion this stuff. But I'm not sure he will.
Well, Joel, I agree with you that people like Perry, I mean, Perry's an admitted Bilderberg group globalist all the way. But something else is happening. I have the state rep, Simpson, on last week, who wrote the bill and got it passed, and they groped his wife. They groped his children. They upset him. Miss America up in Dallas, they stuck their hand down her pants. Jesse Ventura, I've been flying with him when they grabbed his genitals, and they were laughing, and they loved having the celebrity there, and he was getting mad going, this is East Germany, it's why I want to leave America. I mean, we went and ate after that because our plane was delayed, and he was literally seething with anger. This is not an act. Ron Paul, they've grabbed his genitals repeatedly when he flies to Texas. He's very mad. They single him out. This is happening to so many prominent people that I think as the tyranny gets hotter and hotter, I think they've gotten to the incremental point where they found the point in the sand where people are getting mad. I mean, it doesn't even matter if you're a globalist. Most of these, you know, people can't afford private jets. Even Dominique Strauss-Kahn was flying on, you know, French Airways. At a certain point, even if you're an insider, somebody sticking their hands down your pants isn't going to cut it.
Well, you know, it's amazing, though, how easy it is to diffuse that just by TSA coming out and saying, oh, we're going to modify this rule. It doesn't matter if they modify it only 2%, as long as they come out and say that. It's amazing what happens when the media, you know, says something like that. It's just like, you know, your guest Stephen Pachenik would say, you can't psyop the American people. That's baloney. You can psyop the American people every day, and they do it every day. You know, as a psychological expert, I can't believe that he'd make a statement that you don't psyop the American people. 9/11 was a psyop.
Well, he's trying to give people confidence. And what he's saying is you can't psyop American people that are thinking. But obviously, when you're swimming in a sea of psyop, obviously the American people, I mean, he said they got away with it on 9/11. I can't believe they're still getting away with it. And in fact, you were telling me during a break, you've got questions for Dr. Pachenik. I'm going to be getting him back on soon to take calls and take questions. What are some questions you've got for him, Joel?
Well, you know, my questions are, first of all, this is the major question. His solution to this, his problem that he sees is our country is under great assault because of Barack Obama and because of George W. Bush. Here's a man who says he respects George H.W. Bush, the arch globalist who mentioned the New World Order numerous times during his speeches. His mentor was Lawrence Eagleburger, who's a globalist. He's talked about advising and working with and having great respect for Brent Scowcroft and Henry Kissinger, Bill Gates. I can't see how a person can 10 years ago have fingered the establishment for 9/11, quoting a general saying 9/11 was an inside job, and not seeing that there was a massive movement behind that inside, dark side of government, and that it's not George Bush and not Barack Obama who are running the show. You can't be as deep inside as Dr. Pachenik says he is and not have seen that there's a dark side establishment. I'd like you to ask him, have you seen that dark side? Is there a conspiracy deep inside government that uses puppets like Obama and George W. Bush who aren't running the show? Have you seen that? I'd like you to see you ask him that.
I will 100% ask him that. Look, I mean, it's completely clear what's going on with Steve Pachenik. When we have him on, it is not a endorsement of everything he says or has done. He is a high-powered insider. He did co-author many of Clancy's books and TV shows, movies. He is big on the International Movie Database. He is this top psychiatrist with these 2 degrees that did write a psychological warfare manual. I look him up, and there's London Telegraph articles about him running the overthrow of, you know, Italian prime ministers. And so the point is, he's an insider who I had on once 9.5 years ago, who said Bin Laden's been dead. So obviously we get him back on when they now bring out this Bin Laden thing. And so I don't expect him to be Joel Scalzi and Ron Paul or Alex Jones. It is what it is. He's an insider here giving us his view on things. And if he came up and worked with Reagan and worked with Bush, it's like Albert Speer, the Hitler's big architect. They said, well, why didn't you know Hitler was bad? And he said, when the devil's got his arm around you, you don't know it. But I'm going to ask him some of those questions when we get him back on with us. I've had him on to cover his Bin Laden angle and the intel he had. You're not just saying, well, he had kidney failure and all this other stuff and couldn't live in the mountains this long. I mean, that's obvious. That's just a side doctor statement. It's the main issue is he had sources that said he was dead. And I've pressed him, tell us who this top general is. And he says, I'm ready to go before a federal grand jury. I didn't even know that was going to happen on the show. It's kind of like we have the D.C. madam on. It doesn't mean everything the D.C. madam is saying and doing we're endorsing. We're having the D.C. madam on so she can give us information. And I said, hun, if you know more info, I wouldn't try to just go to prison. They're going to kill you. And a few months later, they did kill her. And so yeah. I told Dr. Pechenik, I said, look, he's a guy from that inside. He's anti-communist. He thinks, it's great all the things they did against the communists. Maybe I should have you pop in if he agrees, but I don't know if he will, I've certainly got your questions written down here to bring up some of those. What do you expect when a big insider comes out and starts whistleblowing? I mean, that's why a lot of whistleblowers don't come out, because people are going to say, well, you come from this system, and so we don't like you or we don't trust you. I think it's a process for people, being a whistleblower to come out. It's kind of like Sybil Edmonds coming out and saying she was breaking down the FBI transcripts of Al-Qaeda being run by the West. And look at all what she went through.
Yeah, but look at the difference, Alex. Look at the difference. She doesn't claim that she's still consulting for government, that they still hire. Pechenik is claiming that he's still got insider contact. Believe me, if he'd taken this position and really openly pushed it, he wouldn't have been able to stay within government, wouldn't have been able to hire it. He would have been cut off from all of his contact, just like Sybil Edmonds has done. Every true whistleblower has literally been blackballed.
I do believe, in fact, I've talked to him privately, I think he got kicked, lost his, I have to check with him, I believe he lost his fellowship at the CFR. And actually, 9.5 years ago when he came on, this is on record, I talked about it at the time, he called and he said, I'm losing my Pentagon contracts, I got big heat on me right now. Can you take down, in fact, I'll bring this up next time he's on, can you take down the transcript? And I said, sorry, Doc, it's already out. So he did go through the ringer for it. And I think, well, I'm doing more research on him.
At least he said he did, but he's also been saying that he still, works for government. And
I think his statement is, and again, I'm not even defending him, I'm putting out what he said, is that he still admires the military, believes they're good people, and he's basically separating corrupt influences of the dark side, as you talk about, with what he's saying. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do. Let's ask him that and see how he responds.
Okay, I don't want to end on this point, Joel. I want you to be able to say any other points you got about Pechenik. Let's come back to one more segment, because then I want to shift gears with you into this sovereign citizen movement. These are good questions for Steve Pechenik, and I'm going to bring them up to him when we get him back on the show, hopefully later this week. I need to call him back. Called me over the weekend. Very good questions. I think the larger question is the more research I do on Pechenik, actually the more high-powered I find out he is. I just search his name and find all sorts of just incredible stuff going back for decades in major newspapers, what he's done behind the scenes, and obviously he has spoken for the establishment many times and basically been a powerful, powerful gopher for them. And my mother thinks that this is some segment of the establishment threatening another segment of the establishment. she said that, and then I had him back on and hadn't really said that, and Pachinik basically said that. I know this is going right in the White House. You better listen. Don't do another false flag. But I will specifically drill down and ask him those questions, and I'm glad that Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief has brought that up. Joel, any other questions for him when I get him on?
Yeah, I wanted to address that specific threat. I heard that interview where he talks about, you know, don't dare pull another false flag. The American people won't stand for it. And then hinted that the military and intelligence community won't stand for it. Now, look, I've been in government myself and in the military, and I'll tell you, they don't allow real dissenters to stay within the military, the intelligence community. They are all yes men, especially at the highest levels. I just frankly do not believe he knows what he's talking about. And I even question his insider relationship. If he actually with a straight face claims that there are a significant body of intelligence and military people who would rebel against the president, I don't believe it.
Well, we have seen Colin Powell's deputy come out and say that Bush didn't want bin Laden, and we are seeing a lot of people. I mean, we saw Ray McGovern get arrested bringing up the lies about WMDs. You know, talk are being thrown out with Rumsfeld. I mean, Joel.
Yeah, but he's out. Nobody in the office has ever bucked him. It's just like Butch Neal. You know, when PDD 60 came out instructing the missile forces, you know, not to absorb a nuclear first strike, which is just suicide. And he didn't say a thing. When he got out of office, he told me, he said, you know, yeah, I said privately, it's, you know, retaliate with what once you take away, but he didn't come out publicly. I mean, even good people like Butch Neal. So I'm just not very, I just don't think that a person is talking reality when he claims that there's a movement within the American military or intelligence community to buck the establishment, the president. I mean, it's more than just the president. There's a powerful establishment that can knock off Vince Foster and anybody else that gets in the way.
Hey, what do you make of this Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation?
Well, you know, these globalists, whether it's the Saudis that go along with the globalists, they're corrupt as can be. They have immunity. They know they can get away with it. But I think you hit on something, which you talked about. It's the fact that here he was threatening Sarkozy, and there is infighting that goes on. There is a leftist element with the globalists in Europe, and there's a pro-American Anglo-American.
And Kahn conspiracy. Is the admitted leader of the socialists. Notice,
that's
international
right.
Banker, leader of the socialists. I get these idiot emails going, well, socialists are against the bankers. Oh, really? It's the big bankers that wrote the Communist Manifesto, folks. I mean, they want a central bank and a gradual income tax, public school. I mean, all the things they've set up.
This guy has raped numerous people before, and they're threatening to come out of the woodwork now to add to his charges, even in Europe. So this guy may be just, they may just have put a noose around his neck.
Yeah, I agree. It's not that he didn't do the rape. He's got a long history of this type of behavior. It's that now they're burning him.
Yeah, they're burning him. Sometimes, you know, they have to play like this. I mean, it'll really be telling if they let this guy off. Then you know that he still got the immunity that he was promised. That he made a mistake and they had to cover up, and it took him a while to cover up. But if they burn this guy, it's because they were trying to protect Sarkozy.
Because he's been a good lapdog, for the Anglo-American?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in this Libya thing. I mean, Sarkozy has taken all the hit, you know, for getting NATO back into this Libya thing, even against the wishes of their people. And it's not over yet. I'll tell you, what's interesting about this international scenario is they've engendered all of these Arab revolts around them, but the Arab tyrants are really digging in their heels, and they're not going down easy. They saw what happened to Mubarak, and Libya's digging in, Gaddafi's digging in, and Assad in Syria is really digging in. He wants to do what Bahrain did and beat this rap. And so I think that even though the globalists started this, they're not going to be able to finish this necessarily as easy as they thought.
We ran out of time on the Sovereign Citizen 60-minute piece, but we're going to be covering that tomorrow, and we've got one of the guys demonized on. Joel Skousen, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll be right back, folks, with the demonization of the Patriot Movement. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I remember when I lost my having echo in so much space.
polls today, but I spent much of the first hour breaking down the nature of the global elite. At the very top, they're a bunch of psychopathic predators. Then we had the breaking news with the secret weather weapons can kill millions, warns top Russian politician. Then my interview with Skousen went 30 minutes over because it's always so interesting to have his perspective and views here with us. I'm tempted to go back to 4 hours just so I have time to get to calls, but then I'm very close to getting the new TV show up and running. You notice that we've built a new studio. I need to do a final tour for folks at PrisonPlanet.tv. You've seen our new Charlie Rose-style roundtable. We've also got another set and a big green screen. We've gotten in all the different news graphics and things we're having to put together right now. We're in the stages of trying to hire some type of TV director. And then there's the whole capitalization of that. The point is we've come a long way and we couldn't do it without your support. But the biggest, one of the biggest things we've added to the arsenal in the InfoWar is that now every week or two we fly the guys around the country or bring people into Austin to interview them. And then we sometimes spend months adding documents and pieces of legislation and information to the videos. And we've got a two-part series with Charlotte Iserby. Part one is going to be up this week. We've got part two on the Big Skull and Bones, and she's the lady that first released the Skull and Bones documents secretly to Anthony Sutton. We've got even more stuff, never before seen. Pretty scary stuff to even have this. I'm going to hurry to get it out. We've got that coming out. We've got this Webster Griffin Tarpley video that's done, and it's going to be released next week. If not next week, the week after. It's done. It's hours and hours of it. It's a whole documentary in its own. A trailer, Webster Tarpley and the Elite's Plan for Global Extermination. And he goes deep into all the proof and their quotes and their statements and the planetary dictatorship and how they're going to do it. You want documentation, this doesn't. I mean, this is just, quite frankly, Rob Jacobson has spent off and on 2 months on this video. And they went in and shot every page, every quote, highlighted it, graphics. I mean, it's just off the chart. That is going to be up on PrisonPlanet.tv. And we've now, just in the last year, got over 50 special reports where we fly to Canada, New York, and Florida, and California to bring these special reports. And they're getting more and more informative, more and more really flashy, you know, the graphics, the documents, the watchability. PrisonPlanet.tv is a giant archive now of 7+ years of my radio show. 3.5 years of the simulcast via TV of the radio show, higher quality podcast, expanded extras that aren't on the DVDs, my book, Paul Watson's book, the films are posted there first. Everything is at PrisonPlanet.tv. And also, before we would have technical stuff when everybody hit a new release or right when the show started every day, we've upgraded the servers, higher quality streams, right at high def with the videos. We could have them high def, but a lot of people don't have to download that long. But we're going to be offering a true high def feature very soon. Just the rendering time takes days sometimes. But the point is, PrisonPlanet.tv gets better and better, and your membership at PrisonPlanet.tv makes what we do here possible. So I want to thank everybody that does pay the 15 cents a day or $5.95 a month, or you can get a yearly membership and get 3 months free. It is the PrisonPlanet.tv members that finance so much of what we're doing, and I want to thank you all for your support over the years. Again, PrisonPlanet.tv. If you haven't tried it out, it takes about a minute to sign up, and we let 6 different IP addresses, or not even IP addresses, it's done by the code, by your username passcode, 6 different people can use the same username and passcode simultaneously. Now, if you give it out to more than that and 6 people get on it at once, then you need to go in and change your username and passcode and give it back to your friends and tell them don't give that out to more than a few people. And believe me, I give it out to free for everybody. If we just had some unlimited spigot of bandwidth and money, we'd do it. But again, PrisonPlanet.tv. I mean, here is the trailer. And this isn't going to be the official name. I haven't figured out the name. I can't figure out names that truly telegraph the mass murderer program of these globalists. And just how they're totally greedy. They want to kill the majority of us so the earth can be theirs, but they also enjoy it. They enjoy it. I mean, Khan reportedly trying to rape women is terrible. But I mean, compared to the dungeons with little kids they love torturing, I mean, these people have to be defeated. They're trying to build this black uniform New World Order to have their way with us. They're trying to sell torture as good so they can turn our farm boys into torturing demons like them. We've got to stand up against this. We've got to repent for the 50-plus million abortions. We've got to repent for all the millions we've killed in these fake wars. We've got to say this New World Order isn't ours and realize all these psychopathic liars in three-piece suits, most of them, you know, have got their mistresses, male and female, and that's one thing. Just shows how decadent they are. Strauss-Kahn, $3,000 a night hotel, seats frozen on all the French Airways, you know, aircraft for him with taxpayer money. You pay the IMF, folks. That's taxpayer paid for. Well, he talks about the starving and how he wants a tax on the middle class of America to pay for the starving. And then they get the IMF World Bank Copenhagen plan two years ago. And it has almost double, right at double the amount of taxes under carbon taxes on the third world as on the West. But they thought they'd fool the third world into getting behind it saying, hey, rob the middle class in Europe and America. These globalists are waging war against everyone. All right, I said I'd get into the attacks on sovereign citizens. And we do have one of the people interviewed, Alfred Adass, joining us tomorrow via video Skype. Very well-spoken guy. And he's just sick of the New World Order. And if you stand up to the globalist criminality and say, I'm out of your system, they say, we're coming after you. Unless you're an illegal alien, then you're above the law because you're an important part of the New World Order. But I wanted to play this trailer for Webster Tarpley and the elite's plan for global extermination. And folks, there's so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. I mean, I can't even describe everything that's there. It's so good. The amount of work, the research on any subject, you can download it, burn it to disk, give it to your friends and family. I mean, please get it on Access TV. I get calls all the time saying, can I download stuff off PrisonPlanet.tv? Yes, if it's my films, you can. We've been contacted by folks, you know, who've made a lot of other films and authorized us to post it on PrisonPlanet.tv. And you're not authorized to download their stuff off our site and then, you know, burn it to disk or whatever or air it on Access Television. But if it's my films or our production work, you see Infowars.com on it, I'm not giving you authorization. I'm licking your boots. Okay, I'm begging you to. People send me emails and say, can I make an InfoWars sticker and put it on my car? Since when are we so timid? I mean, of course you can. I mean, you could make a bumper sticker for Coca-Cola and put it on your car if you wanted to. Do whatever you want. Make your own InfoWars.com t-shirts. I mean, and sell them. I don't care, folks. I'm here to defeat the globalist, okay? What I don't put up with, though, is people online masquerading as if they're us. That I will not put up with. People start sites, say they're us, and then operate in that way. That makes me hopping mad. As long as you have on there that you're not us, I'm happy with whatever. The point is, there is a cornucopia, an armory, a treasury of information at PrisonPlanet.tv. Let's get it out to everybody. Okay, I'm going to shut up because I got to get to these video clips. Here is the trailer for Webster Tarpley and the elite's plan for global extermination. It's up on the Alex Jones channel at YouTube, the trailer, also at Infowars.com. Help us get this out to everybody. Here it is.
John P. Holdren is the resident science czar of the Obama White House. Holdren says that the optimum world population is 1 billion. The implications of his belief structure and his world outlook are genocide. This is a book called Ecoscience. This is a cookbook for the extermination of humanity. To provide a high quality of life for all, there must be fewer people, says Holdren. He says you could do this by putting chemicals in food and water. He wants to have licenses for birth. What happens to people that are born illegitimately, meaning without a birth permit? Compulsory abortion. Think about that. He even writes about infanticide. In order to enforce this, he talks about a supranational monstrosity that he calls a planetary regime. This means a world empire, a supranational one-world government that would attempt to control all details of human life. This is an ultra-Hitlerian genocidalist who's today operating out of the White House in Washington, D.C., and it's time to kick him out.
Oh, it's powerful. Oh, man. I was supposed to go home the other night and eat dinner, and the phone was off, and my wife was ringing and ringing, and I sat in there for an hour and a half watching what Jacobson's put together, and the trailer doesn't even do it justice. I could not stop watching it. Even though I've read most of Ecoscience and these other documents and knew it, the way Tarpley laid it all out in the history of Malthus and their whole, this is the globalist philosophy. Why shouldn't they rape women in hotel rooms or kidnap little kids? They think we're cockroaches that are there to serve them. They believe it's their right to kill us because they're in control. I'm telling you, folks, good people have got to grow up. Look, I know why a lot of you don't believe this stuff or won't check it out. It's because you can't believe people are like this. You can't believe Nero dressed up in werewolf outfits and killed people publicly, biting their throats out. It's on record, mainline Roman history. Caligula that came after him, married his horse and made it the head of the Senate and basically worshipped its droppings. I mean, you can't make this up. The Aztecs cutting little kids' hearts out. I mean, I could go on for hours here. Every culture, at the end of the day, demands people hand their kids over for the priest class to murder them and rape them. Oh, that went on all these places, too. I mean, what you get is child-murdering rapists that like to dress up as demons and bite chunks out of people, run things, okay? When societies allow it, and societies always fall once the vampires get control. The vampires start taking control, the society starts getting sick, the vampires take control of the culture, they sell their murderous death and stink as something good, and then things fall apart, and finally, we haul the vampires out in the full light of day. That's a metaphor. And they burst into flames, ladies and gentlemen. It's like, why couldn't I see it before? Why didn't I do something about them before? I don't like bullies. I don't like thugs. I don't like scum. And I love flowers. I love the soil. I love the stars. I love the moon. I love that cool springtime breeze in the morning. I love jumping into the lake at about 6 a.m. before the sun even comes up and swimming a mile. I love watching the fish from around beneath me. I just can't believe the incredible birthright we've been given to live on this beautiful planet and to enjoy all of these incredible blessings. And I see all these unhappy people that do not appreciate the food we've got and the success and the shelter. And because we have had all our basic needs satiated on the surface, people have forgotten what's really valuable and what created all the wealth, the basic rights, the basic hard-earned liberties. And I just love life. I love beauty. I love good things. I want to protect beauty. I want to protect innocence. And anytime I get a little afraid, or not even afraid, selfish, I'm like, man, I want to keep living. I want to keep enjoying this beautiful creation. I want to, you know, continue. I think about all the generations that are coming after me and my own children. They deserve to not be enslaved by these pot-bellied demons, by these Dominique Strauss-Kahns. And I just think, wow, it is an honor. It is an honor. I almost have ancestral flashback instinctive memories to a horde, an enemy running over the hill to come down into our village and take my wife and children and my family as slaves, and I'm going to gut up, and I'm going to fight these people, and I'm going to fight them as hard as I can to drive them off, and if I die in the process, so what? That's what I'm supposed to do. Nothing. The tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants, and I am fighting in the info war. But if they imprison me, they torture me, whatever, they destroy me, whatever. Whatever. I mean, I'm not even worried about it. It is a blessing. This is good. I mean, whatever's in God's plan. These are people that take little kids into UN dungeons. They're constantly being caught and torture little kids. They've got to be dealt with. And all you cops and bureaucrats that say I'm a conspiracy theorist because you don't want to face the reality and the fact of what's covered in Paul Watson's article, Globalists Like to Rape Women as Well as Nations. You go read how there's official lobbyists for DynCorp and Halliburton for child kidnapping operations. I mean, that's who you work for. You work for people, and by going along with this system and supporting the system, you support these people so they can sit there and rip with pliers the eyeballs out of two-year-olds, okay? Because they like it. Let's start getting to the 60 Minutes clip, and then I'll come back and comment on it. Here's their demonization piece last night. If you don't just let Dominique Strauss-Kahn rape you and give him diplomatic immunity, you are an evil sovereign citizen. Here we go.
What is a sovereign citizen?
A sovereign citizen, in its simplest form, believes that he is above the law.
J.J. McNabb has been studying sovereign citizens for a decade. She's testified before Congress and is writing a book about the movement.
He has a twisted sense of history, and he thinks that people who lived in the 18th century were free of all legal constraints, and they want to return to that time now.
Jerry and Joe Kane were part of an anti-government movement whose roots date back to the racist Posse Comitatus of the 1970s and the Montana Freeman of the 90s. Convicted Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols was a sovereign citizen. And tax filings by actor Wesley Snipes, convicted of tax evasion in 2008, include numerous examples of sovereign language.
Average sovereign citizen.
That's enough.
Today
hit pause.
Is
back it up 10 seconds. We'll come back and play the a little bit more. The whole thing's up on Infowars.com. You got to love that. They believe there was this freedom 100 years ago, 200 years ago. There wasn't an income tax till 1913. The general public was exempt except for the top 1% until 1951. In Kennedy's day, we paid roughly half of what we pay today. The income tax, 100% goes to finance the debt to the private bankers who themselves are exempt internationally with all these tax write-offs they write. We built the country without all this. And yes, we are losing many of our freedoms. And we know history. You don't. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, and I've got a little bit more of the clip I want to play here. But sovereign citizens run the gamut from people calling themselves sovereign citizens that have got mullets that are 18 feet long, and are, you know, saying that anybody who isn't white is the devil, to black groups saying that. There's black sovereign groups that say whites are the devil. So you've got that group. I'd say maybe 10% of the sovereign citizen movement. And believe me, I've been in this 17 years, really 19 years total, but on air almost 17 years. I've studied it. I've looked at it. 90% are constitutional lawyers, serious people. We're going to have later this week really the founder of what you could call the modern sovereign citizen movement, Red Beckman, who explains government is not above you. The government gets its power from the people. Declaration of Independence, jury nullification. The feds teach jury nullification is basically illegal. Jury nullification is talked about by the founding fathers and in Supreme Court cases even in the last few decades. So they teach you, you will follow whatever government says. We're allowed to torture, but that's against the law. Shut up, conspiracy theorist. We're allowed to stick our hands down your pants. Well, no, you're not. Shut up, conspiracy theorist, sovereign citizen. And in this piece, they show somebody in a shootout with the cops, and it cuts to the cop going, if we'd have known they were sovereign citizens, those cops would still be alive, saying they've got to track everybody that wants to end the Fed, track everybody that wants to get America back. Sure, there are nuts out there. They're going to, get into any movement. But the point is, they want to freak cops out. And when you get the documents, over 90% of it is all about sovereign citizens. But then they lump people into the more extreme sovereign citizens who are just mainline Ron Paul supporters or get us out of the UN. Then the feds bomb Oklahoma City to then try to tie the whole movement to that. And that's on record. So this is how they're operating. They infiltrate our groups, try to radicalize us. They do all of this. And they go on and talk about paper terrorism, Well, people are having their farm, their ranch taken, so the city of Austin can pay some billionaire, hundreds of millions to build a Formula One racetrack, or they're taking your house for property taxes, you can't pay for it, and you desperately try to go file some stuff, and then they arrest you, calling it paper terrorism. And she goes on in the piece to admit, well, a lot of them are people going bankrupt or homeless. Well, yeah, you push people all the way over the edge. Now all they got's a van. They go and mow lawns. I mean, I know a lot of these sovereign citizens. They live in their van. They read their Bible. They go to church. And they're just sitting there waiting for the Antichrist forces to come. And cops come and say, we're going to search your van. And the guy's like, I'm legally parked here at this campground. Just let me live. And the cops, take him to jail two or three times, confiscate everything they got. Finally, they just go, next time they come, Lord Jesus, I'm preparing to fight back against the devil forces. I mean, you got some old man just wanting to be left alone somewhere, and finally they can't be pushed anymore. A lot of these people are veterans. You get these jackbooted, shaved head, steroid head, young punk cops pushing some old man to the edge. You're going to get bit sometimes. While the illegal aliens are running around like wild all around you, above the law, you're told, leave them alone, harass these people that have been pushed to the edge. Look, I don't have some macho hair, in me wanting to have war with a bunch of steroid heads. You're a bunch of idiots. I'd rather wake up on average, okay? You work for people like Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Get that through your head. We have a criminal government. It's illegitimate, and I don't have time to play the rest of the clip. It's up on Infowars.com under the headline, CBS demonizes constitutionalists. And I'm seeing a lot of TV shows like this right now. They're getting ready to segue off of Al-Qaeda to white Al-Qaeda. And they've put out reports that the militia works with Al-Qaeda. Ladies and gentlemen, the militias disappeared after 9/11 because most of them went out and put stickers on their cars saying, Al-Qaeda hunting licenses. The average militia person is about as patriotic as you're going to get. Working with Al-Qaeda? No, that's the CIA. Retransmission starts now with King Intel and the Child Rapers. You don't want to miss this info coming up.